Again, this evening, let me extend my own personal welcome to each and every one who has come to this Gospel meeting, and we pray again that each one of us will be blessed for being here this evening. You know, they say that you should learn something new every day, and I can honestly say I have never heard hymn number 187 been sung in public before, and it was very nice to hear it this evening. You might think that's strange that a man would never have heard about that hymn, but you have to remember that I'm originally from Ireland, and in Ireland they sing from the Gospel hymn book, and it's not in that hymn book, so it was very nice to hear it. And we trust that if there's anyone in this meeting this evening, and you're not yet saved, that tonight the thing which you learned that you've never learned before, or you've never realised before, that you will learn that your true state in the sight of God, and that you are a sinner. I wonder if we take our Bibles tonight and read a very well known passage of Scripture. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the little book of Jonah. It's in Jonah and chapter number 1. I think we will take time and read through the 17 verses of chapter 1 of this little book of Jonah. So Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it off them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they cried every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And we trust again this evening that the Lord will bless to us this rather lengthy reading from his precious word. You know, the title of this book is Jonah, and I have no doubt in my mind that the central theme and the central character of the book is this man with the name of Jonah. But tonight I would just like to look for a few moments at these other men that are described as mariners. And we're not going to speak about Jonah tonight, although we will come up in the remarks that we have to say. The central theme that I would like to think of are these mariners, these men who worked for their living, rowing the ship backwards and forwards across the sea, going from port to port, delivering these wares and delivering goods and delivering people. And let's just have a look tonight about these manners, and let's see what lessons that we can learn. Because, you know, one of the great things that we hear today as we speak to people around about us about the Lord Jesus, as we speak to them about the Bible, you know, people begin to tell us, well, you know, it's a nice book. It's well written and it's well put together. But, well, 2,000 years on, what relevance exactly does it have for us today? Well, as we look tonight at this story, a historical fact, something that took place, something that has enough significance that it has been written and recorded for us on the page of Holy Scripture. And let us look tonight at the story of these mariners as they sought to take their ship across the sea. Now, to give you a little bit of background to the story, we will speak about Jonah just for a moment. Because, you know, Jonah was a man. He was brought up, it tells us here, he was the son of Amittai. And Amittai got a call from God. He got a call to go to Nineveh, that wicked city, and to speak to them. But you know, Jonah, well, he decided in his own mind that, well, there must have been nicer places to be able to go and to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jonah had risen up and he had gone. If we could imagine that Nineveh was in this direction, well, Jonah, he just decided that he would head in exactly the opposite direction. And he got on a ship which was heading to a place which is called Tarshish. And you know, when he got onto the ship, he paid his fare. He didn't do anything wrong there. To those around about him, you know, Jonah was just doing exactly what I'm sure many people had done before. He had come along, he had paid his fare, he climbed onto the ship, he disappeared, he went down into the bowels of the ship, he went down out of sight, and there he went to sleep. And you know, these mariners, they set off on a journey, and they had absolutely no idea that there was anything wrong on that journey. Well, I suppose you could say that's our first little point tonight, that we all must learn, and we all must bring, and we all must think about this evening, because you know, we're all on a journey. And again, it's very easy to say, well, you know, I understand a journey to be as something that is moving. And yes, we took upon ourselves, we were on a journey when we got into the car and we came to the meeting tonight. Yes, I can understand that that was a journey. But you know, something deeper than that, something which lasts slightly longer than that, we have often referred to, and even in the Bible, it is referred to that we can look at our whole life as a journey. We are journeying through. And you know, we begin away back at birth, when we were born into this world, and you know, as we grow up through being a child, into adolescence, into a young adult, into middle age, and then to being older, and then as each and every one has done except for the one, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, we all, there comes a point when that journey will end. There comes a point where that journey will and has ended for each and every one. So here we have men who were on a journey. They had done this journey many times before. I'm quite sure that they were seasoned mariners. You know, it says that they were able to row their ship. The ships that were on the sea in those days were certainly nothing like the ships that you would see out in the Firth of Forth. They were altogether different affairs. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of effort just to get through. But these men, through their experience, had done this many times before. And as they set out on that particular journey, they had absolutely no idea what lay ahead of them. Now, I'm quite sure that despite not having weather forecasts as we would have today, and not having the use of computers and things like that, these men would have been well trained. And they could have looked ahead and seen that if there was a storm gathering, they weren't quite sure on that day that there was no storm that was on the horizon. Those men that rowed this ship had absolutely no idea of what lay in store from them. And you know, they cast off their ropes, the ship headed out into the sea, and before very long, in verse number 4, we read there, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." You know, these men were faced with a very serious and real dilemma. It came upon them all of a sudden. It came upon them just out of the blue, so to speak, in their eyes. Now, we all know that it was in the will of God. There is nothing that happens just by chance. But for these men, as they sailed out, well, all of a sudden, there was a mighty storm that came along them. These men were faced with a very stark reality very quickly. It says that the ship was like to be broken. These men were faced with the fact that in a few moments, in a few minutes, that perhaps their life was going to end. Now, this is our next little lesson. You know, we're all on a journey. That journey commenced at birth. That journey will end through the article of death. And you know, there are storms which will come during that journey. There are storms that will come when we least expect it. And you know, when the storm came in these men's life, they were no different to any other men. In verse number 5 it says, "Then the mariners, and they were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God." We don't read anywhere else beforehand that they had prayed to their gods. We don't read anywhere else that there was any thought in their mind about their God. It's when it came to a crisis, it's when it came to a storm, then they decided to call upon their God. You know, tonight there are many people, and they live life just as if there was no tomorrow. They live life just as if they can do exactly as they please, and exactly as they want. But you know, sometimes there are difficulties that come along. And my word, our world tonight in 2010 is filled with every bit as much tragedy as it was back in the days of Noah. People have every bit as much difficulty, if not more. And there are every bit as many crises that come into people's lives. And you know, we often hear that people in a crisis, when people need, well, then they will turn to something that they feel that it is that they can grab onto. They will turn onto their God. But you know, these men found out very, very quickly that their God, what they were calling upon, well, it wasn't too much avail. Verse 5, we'll read it again. "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. And they cast forth the wares, doing everything that they could do to try and stop the storm. Doing everything that they could do to try and make sure that they could get this ship to the other side." And you know, it was having absolutely no impact. And I think tonight again, as we look around about in 2010, many people are trying many different things to solve the particular problems, to solve the particular crises that they have in their lives. Each one of these crises, no doubt brought on by the fact that we all are sinners by nature. You know, we need to be very aware of that tonight as well, that there are many things in our life which happen, and they all happen because of that little word. That little word called sin. And let's be very clear tonight that as we are on a journey which began at our birth, that journey which began the day we were born, let me tell you tonight, I'm sorry to have to come and tell you that you have been born into this world, you have been born a sinner. And just as these men, when it came to a crisis, discovered very, very quickly that they could do absolutely nothing for themselves, you know, in your own strength, let me be very clear tonight, in your own strength, there is absolutely nothing that you can do to help yourself towards a holy, an absolutely perfect and holy God. There's absolutely nothing that we can do in life. There's nothing that we can pray to in our own selves. There's nothing that we can physically do to try and give ourselves that ability to be able to save ourselves. You know, we are tonight in this gospel meeting, I said it before, I'll say it again, we are all sinners and have come short of the glory of God. Further on in this Bible, in the New Testament, that makes us very clear. Romans chapter 3, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And can I tell you tonight, it's not nice to have to tell people in this day and age, and people are very reluctant to accept it, but there is no difference. There is absolutely no difference. And you might say to me, well, let's look around about the town where we live. And there are people, and I can assure you, that they are absolutely an awful lot worse than I am. That may be so, and I do not dispute that. And we have the greatest admiration for people who live themselves to be in decent lives. But the Bible says, for all have sinned. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if I can explain it very simply to you, is that God's standard is so far away that it doesn't matter whether your sin is big or small. In the eyes of God, it makes absolutely no difference. And you may be the best citizen that Leven or wherever you come from has ever had. And you may do the best to those around about you that has ever been done. the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as you embark upon this journey, just as these sailors did, and you embark upon your own merits and your own efforts and your own ambitions, can I tell you, they are absolutely of no use to you. Because these men were in a crisis, their boat was about to be broken, they were facing the reality that very soon they could be in a never-ending eternity, and their God, what they were placing their faith and trust in at that time, was of absolutely no significance. What was the solution to the problem? Well, we read further on ahead down that there was a man in the boat, and once again his name was Jonah. And this man, he was asleep down in the bowels of the boat. And the man, the captain of the boat, he went down and brought this man up and said, "How on earth can you sleep? What have you done? And come and let us." Verse number six. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? And rise upon, call upon your God, and God will break upon us, and we will perish not." You know, Jonah was able to tell them that his God was the God, the Hebrew God, the one and true God, the Lord God of heaven, the one who had made the sea and the one who had made the dry land. And as he sat down, and I'm sure they brought him up on, in the middle of the tempest, can you imagine it, the waves crashing off the edge of the ship, these men would have been gathered, they would have been huddled round, and Jonah was trying to explain to them who his God was. He was the God who had made the sea. He was the one and only true God. You know, at that minute, these men heard of God's plan of salvation. At that moment, these men heard that there was a way that they could be saved. You know, Jonah told them that he would have to be cast over the side and into the water. Jonah had realized that he had done wrong. The only way that these men could be saved was by one giving his life. The great plan of salvation. You know, we need to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We're in a gospel meeting. The word gospel, good news. Now, I've spent 10 or 15 minutes telling you of an awful lot of bad things. How terrible we are within ourselves. How we can do absolutely nothing to save ourselves. How we can do nothing in the troubles and in the crisis of life. But can I tell you tonight, I want to speak to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The one true God, the God of heaven, the one that made the sea, and the one that made the dry land. We're here tonight to preach about that exact same God. That same God who had a love in his heart, yes, for mankind, but let's bring it a wee bit closer tonight. Every single one sitting in this meeting, every single one that will hear this message, that God has an interest in you. God loves you as an individual, and God loves you as a sinner. He absolutely loathes and detests the sins which you commit, but as an individual, God loves you. In the gospel message that we proclaim tonight, it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That one who was with God throughout all eternity in the past. And that one, and our Bible reminds us that God could say, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. And the one who went to the cross of Calvary, and you know there are a number of people who know that there was a man called Jesus who lived in this world, but they are reluctant to accept him for what he really is. Can I tell you tonight, the man Jesus who was born in the manger in Bethlehem, the man Jesus who performed miracles by the Sea of Galilee, the man Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary, you know, he was the only eternal Son of God. Let's never ever forget that. The Bible says, he did no sin. In him is no sin. He was absolutely sinless and pure. The only one who should never have been judged or had to be accountable for sin was the only one who was suitable to pay the penalty for the sins of a guilty world. You know, we were reminded in our morning meeting this morning in Dunfermline that we have no way of telling from the Bible how many animals were actually sacrificed, how much blood was actually shed In the old economy, in the Jewish economy, where animals were sacrificed and blood was shed on account of sin, it covered over sin. But you know, there was only one true sacrifice. There was only one, the Lord out of heaven, who could come. And he could come to the cross of Calvary, and he could come and die, and to suffer, and victoriously die. That one who cried with a loud voice, "It is finished," after man had done his worst, after God had clothed this sin in darkness, and made to meet upon the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. He could cry with a loud voice, "It is finished." And just as Jonah was able to sit around with those men and explain to them about the one true God, explain to them about the one God who had made the heavens and the earth and the dry land and the moon and the stars, he had made man, he had made absolutely everything. Well, I can tell you tonight, I can speak to you about that exact same God. And I can tell you more than that, I can tell you about the God who had love in his heart for each and every individual in Leven tonight, each and every individual in Scotland, and each and every individual throughout this whole world, loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. But you know, these men heard the message. They heard how they were to respond to the message. They were to throw Jonah overboard. They were to get rid of Jonah. This man was to give his life, and they would be okay. They would be saved after that. And what did they do? You know, In verse number 12, they read, "Take me up and cast me into the sea." Verse number 13, it says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed on." Despite hearing the message, despite coming to the end of their life, despite having absolutely nothing left to do, they were faced with a wall. They were faced with a situation that was going to end in absolute disaster and catastrophe. And how did they respond to that? Well, they said, "Jonah, you know, I understand, but we still think you're quite a nice man. We don't want to just throw you overboard now. We'll still try it our way." Perhaps they could see the light of land in the distance, and they said, "There's just a wee bit more to go. We'll try and get there by ourselves." You know, how many people in Scotland tonight? How many people in Ireland? How many people in England? How many people in Wales? And you know, despite knowing the message of the gospel, despite knowing the simplicity of it, and we say it again, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's the gospel in a nutshell. And despite knowing it perhaps from childhood, how many of them are still, "Well, if perhaps just I could get my own way. Perhaps there's something that I can do." And you know, many people are being stumbled. Many people are falling over the fact that, well, it's just all about them. Salvation's just something that they would need to do. And these men, well, I would say, I could safely say, I have no authority in Scripture, but I would say at that time they were putting their back into getting this boat rowed into the shore. "We're going to have to sacrifice a man's life here. Well, let's row and row and row and row harder till we get this boat in." Well, I can tell you, it did absolutely nothing. I can just imagine the harder they rowed, the more stationary the boat stood. And you know, there came a point where they realised, "We can do absolutely nothing." You know what happened then? Well, they took Jonah and they had to cast him over the side. We all know what happened to Jonah after that, and that's a completely different story. But you know, verse 16, after they had thrown him over, in verse number 15 it says, "So they took Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased." I think there's a little word missing there. I would say it's meant to say it immediately. The sea ceased from her raging. Immediately the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. You know, it was only after these men were absolutely desperate. It's only after they realized that there was absolutely nothing that they could do that would save them from their predicament. You know, we've spoken much tonight about how we can apply this to ourselves. And let's think back over it. We're on this journey, a journey which began at our birth, a journey which will end in disaster for each and every one of us because we are sinners, a journey which there has been a provision of salvation through the love of God, a journey which perhaps there is a time when you recognise and you learnt that there is a Saviour through our Lord Jesus Christ. A journey where perhaps you're still thinking, "Well, I can just do this by myself." Can I urge you tonight, stop. The Bible makes it absolutely clear from this passage and a multitude of other passages, there's absolutely nothing that you can do to save yourself. It's not about you. The work has been finished. It's said already about the Lord Jesus as he hung upon the cross. He cried, "It is finished." There was absolutely nothing more. No other words that could be added to it. It didn't say, "It is finished," and just you finish it off in whatever way you feel the need to. It is finished. And I mention this every time I preach the gospel. The night I was saved, you know, I don't know. And I had tried to believe. I had tried to trust. I had tried to have faith. I had tried to accept. I had to try to do all the things that I had heard for 21 years of all the things that I had heard preachers telling me that I had to do. You know, the night that I was saved, I completely forgot about what I had to do. And for the first time in my life, I got my eyes fixed on what had been done on the cross of Calvary. Salvation is not about you. Salvation is for you. Salvation is not about you. It's for you. All the doing has been done. And can I tell you tonight, the work is finished. Just as when Jonah was cast over the side, just as when the life was given, the work is finished. There's not a thing that you can do for it. And you know, the call from heaven tonight is come. Come. And that's all you have to do. And can I urge you tonight that salvation is just when you will realize for the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you. You know, there's something very difficult about explaining salvation. There's something very difficult about the simplicity of it. I'm very scared that as I'm standing here and that you're trying to preach, that you're actually overcomplicating how salvation happens. But you know, salvation is instantaneous and it's a result of you accepting the fact that the work has been finished at the cross of Calvary. And there's absolutely nothing more that you can do. You know, these men availed themselves of the opportunity. I could tell you tonight, there are many people, perhaps even in this town, who have heard the message of the gospel, who perhaps have sat at junctures in their life where they have thought very seriously about the implications of trusting Christ. They have been spoken to by the Spirit of God on how they can be saved, on how they should trust Christ as their own and personal Savior, and perhaps they have said, just another time. Perhaps they said, we'll just leave it to one more time. You know, these men, they were getting absolutely nowhere. It was very real to them. I don't believe they would have had another opportunity. They were told to cast Jonah over the side, and when they did that, it was an act of faith. And when they did that, there was the calm. Immediately, there was the calm. Can I tell you tonight, there are many people, and they have missed an opportunity to hear the message. You're listening to this gospel message tonight, and you know you've had thoughts about salvation, you've had thoughts about the Lord Jesus, you've had thoughts about trusting Christ as your Saviour. Don't put them off. I'll finish in just one moment by quoting this verse. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You also read in the Old Testament, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, tonight the Lord Jesus is calling. The work is finished. The call comes out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not only for time, but for a never-ending eternity. And an eternity spent in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a sad other side to that as well. Those who reject Christ, those who keep trying, as these men did, to get to heaven their own way. Well, you know, there is another place. The Bible speaks of a place which is called hell. And that it says that there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And for those who reject Christ, that will be their abode forever and forever and forever. but not one person needs to be there. The word of Christ is sufficient for everyone tonight, and it says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We trust again this evening that the God will bless his word, shall we pray. Our Father, again, we come into thy presence. We give thee thanks for this opportunity just to open thy word and to speak well of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank thee again tonight for the message. We thank thee for him, and we thank thee for the provision that he has made at the cross of Calvary. And we thank thee for each one who has gathered this evening. And we pray again that each one of us will be blessed for being here. No doubt, our Father, for those who already dine, it is a joy to hear the message of the gospel. And we pray even that those, our Father, tonight will leave this place uplifted just to know that they have trusted one who is safe and secure forever and forever. But our Father, we pray tonight that there are those listening to this message not yet saved, that they will accept Christ, that they will be spoken to, and that they will have no rest in their heart until they are reached and saved. Our Father, again, we thank you for our time together. We thank you again for help which has been granted, and take each of us now to our homes in safety, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I wonder could we take time, I apologise for going just a couple of minutes over the time, but just sing one verse of a hymn, please, a very well-known gospel hymn. It's hymn number 292, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me, And That Thou Bidst Me Come To Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Well, just remain seated and sing just one verse, verse number 2 of hymn number 293, and then our meeting is completed.